Good afternoon, folks. This is not John Stadtmiller, but this is Michael Collins Piper sitting in for John during this last hour of his program. I guess John has some things to do, and I didn't have anything to do, so when John asked me to take up this hour for him, I was glad to do it. I don't know if all of you are familiar with who I am. I assume many of you are, but just for your information, I am another host here on RBN. My program starts at 6 p.m. Central Time. That's 1 hour from now, so I'm actually going to be on the air 2 hours tonight. I'm a correspondent for American Free Press newspaper based here in Washington, D.C., where I live and work. I've been with American Free Press since we started it in 2001, and for many, many years before that, I was with the Spotlight newspaper until a corrupt federal judge put it out of business. Such is life. But life goes on, and thank God for independent voices like American Free Press and the Republic Broadcasting Network. And thanks to John Stadtmiller for making all this possible. I've been hosting my own show since February. I know a lot of you are probably listeners to it. Maybe you're not. So you're going to get a little dose of me for an hour here if you choose to stay with us, and I hope you do during this second hour of John's program. I'm not going to be having any guests here on this hour, but in the hour that follows this, when I'm going to have an interesting hour with three very interesting guests, the team of Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani from the often controversial WingTV.net, and the other guest, it's kind of going to be a debate between Victor and Lisa teaming up against my colleague from American Free Press and the Republic Broadcasting Network, Christopher Boleyn. I'm not going to tell you anything more about it because I want you to stay listening to this network and my show following the end of the National Intel Report. In any case, folks, we're going to have open lines here this hour. You're free to call in and talk about anything you want to talk about, up to point of reason and point of decency, of course, but I don't think we have a problem with that. In any case, the number here, the call-in line, toll-free, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. One thing I would like to talk about with listeners is what are we going to do about this mess? What are we going to do about this mess in our country? You know, people have all sorts of solutions. People have all sorts of magic bullets as to what's going to turn this country around. And that's something I'd be curious to hear from you, you the listeners. I want to make you the guests and have you tell me what you think the big problem in this country today is and how it should be solved or how we should take back the country. Everybody always tells me on my program that they want answers. We can talk all about the problems, but they want solutions. They want guidance. They want ideas and opinions to help them, I guess, express their voices and make their voices heard. So that's really what I just like some input from people on this subject. I mean, how can we do it? I tend to be very cynical, folks. I think the elections are controlled. That maybe every once in a while they actually have a real free election, but when push comes to shove, the elections are controlled. That's my opinion. And so therefore, that raises the question, are the elections really worth participating in? Is it worth running candidates, serious good people, for high office? I don't mean to be a cynic, but I guess I am, folks, and that's what it all comes down to. Mr. Mike Piper, the cynic. Are you a cynic? All right, folks, we're going to a break. When we come back, we're going to go to our first caller who's already aboard with us. This is Mike Piper sitting in for John Stadtmiller.
Oh. Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper here, sitting in for John during this second hour of his program, the National Intel Report. I'm not having any guests here in this hour, but as I said earlier, I am on my own hour, which follows this. I will have two folks from Wing TV and RBN's own Christopher Berlin in a, what should we call it, Battle of the Network Stars? Okay, let's go to the phones here. We have a couple callers lined up already. We have Fred from Pennsylvania. Fred, what's going on?
Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Fred?
All right. Can you go into detail about exactly what Chris found out on the day that this incident happened?
Okay, you're referring to Christopher Berlin.
Yeah.
And exactly what he found out. I'm not quite sure what you mean, Fred.
Well, was there a confirmation that the move into Lebanon by Israel was really to rescue two kidnapped soldiers, or was there another reason? Was that basically a ambiguous or a fake story about the the soldiers being kidnapped in Israel and being pulled back into Lebanon. Because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Along with that, there were supposed to have been one or more Israeli soldiers killed in that same raid. But what about the fact that Israel did not show the destruction of that raid, did not show the body on Israeli soil of the soldier?
It doesn't seem to
all fit together. Original story.
I guess I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit confused as to the context of what the incident you're referring to was the attack by the police on Christopher Boleyn, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying he had been calling. He had been calling people in Israel.
Oh, yeah, well, as I recall, Christopher's actual research had to do with something regarding an Israeli connection to 911. I don't think he was actually...
Okay.
I'm not clear on that. I mean, I remember there was a 911 connection to it.
I thought it might have been both looking up both stories.
Well, actually, you know, Christopher has done some writing for American Free Press on the Lebanon situation and, of course, on the Middle East situation in general. But it's funny you bring this question up about Israel's move into Lebanon. I will recommend a very interesting article that I just skimmed through it today because I didn't have time to read it in detail. But it's an article in the latest issue of The New Yorker by Seymour Hersh. And Hersh is a pretty good writer, and he digs out a lot of good information. He's got a lot of good sources. And primarily what Hersh says is, and he cites Israeli sources and high-level U.S. sources, Israel had been planning this move into Lebanon for a long, long time. That was just a pretext. I mean, you know, everybody kind of knew that in the first place.
There was a buildup of forces. There was a buildup of forces. There was planning behind the move into it. It wasn't a raid to to rescue soldiers, and then as an afterthought, a huge air campaign and a publicity campaign and then a ground invasion. No.
Yeah. Well, see, this is but I'll tell you the funny thing about it is, Fred. You know, most of the. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that I don't refer to the listeners of the Republic Broadcasting Network, but just say that the average American who would turn on this program and hear us talking here tonight, they still believe that, you know, that those wonderful Israelis went into Lebanon because of that poor soldier, you know?
they think that, and I'm telling you, they're going to think that when their own neck is in the noose, they're going to still think that. And we've got to have an independent way to get out these facts and also expose the contradictions on their facts.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting the very use of the term kidnapping in reference to a soldier. I just thought was really peculiar, and I guess other people have commented on that too. I mean, you know, soldiers get captured. They don't get kidnapped.
Yeah, and
but they use this term kidnap because kidnapping is a crime.
Yeah, so, and if they're kidnapped in Lebanon, then that actually is within Lebanon's rights or any residents of Lebanon's rights to do that.
Yeah, it's in fact, that's the whole thing. You know, they weren't supposed to be there. So this is how things work, you know. But,
yeah.
Of course, we're conspiracy theorists here, Fred. So,
yeah, let's switch gears and talk about the National Election Pool, the Voter News Service, Voter Research Service, all this thorn in the side of democracy, the way I see it, because, as Stalin said, I don't care who gets the, what did he say? I don't care who gets the votes, but who counts
it's
the votes.
It's who counts them, exactly. You know, I'll tell you a story. Years ago, when both Christopher and I were working for the Spotlight newspaper, Christopher went up to New York to the office of the Voter News Service. It's had several different names, and I can never. I probably couldn't have even remembered that Voter News Service if you wouldn't have said it. But in any case, Christopher went to their office, and he had a camera with him, and he took a picture of their inboxes. With all the names, there were like about 10 or 15 names of the employees there.
Uh-huh.
And he got it was a very clear shot. Christopher's also a very good photographer, by the way. and he got a shot of their inbox, and he brought that back. And at the time, it inspired me to do a story on my own, and I kept contacting Voter News Service. And I told them I had a picture taken by Christopher Boleyn of their inbox, and that I knew the names of all their employees, and I kept trying to get further information on the employees and their associations, and they'd say, well, we'll get back to you, and of course they wouldn't call me. I must have called them 15 times.
I'd do anything to help the paper redo that story. I have a copy of the 96 story that Christopher did on VNS, and I'm telling you, I don't have it in front of me, but the sentence right in the middle of that report by Christopher is just really outdoes any other journalist, because he came to the soundest conclusion you could come to, and that the will of the people is not being expressed in these elections, and we have a filter, a media filter, and it's not government technically, so it can't be, you can't get at them by the the Freedom of Information
exactly
Act.
See, that's the trick, that's the gimmick. We have it functions as an adjunct theoretically of the government, but you know, that's the amazing thing about it too. People have come to accept even the two major political parties as being an adjunct of the government, but which in fact it is, but they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
These are private entities.
Right, are and they aren't. I think the intelligence agencies play that game. Also, the DCI, the Director of Central Intelligence, it's like the analogy would be like a fly sitting on the top of a pyramid. He has the ability to fly off that top, that apex of that pyramid, and act on his own. And he also is basically like a tiny little triangle at the top of that other triangle of society. So
they
know all the philosophical tricks and traps, and we're just catching up. And I'm telling you, we are catching up at an incredible rate. And don't be deterred by whatever happens. Just keep doing the stories that need to be done. Do another story on VNS. They call it the National Election Pool, and they're almost basically boasting that they're stock market operators, and your vote is just a share of stock.
Well, you know, that National Election Pool, you know, that almost sounds like something you'd hear about at the racetrack. But on a completely different analogy, that National Election Pool is something we're drowning in. You know, I mean, these faceless people are counting our votes, and we don't know who they are or how they do it, and it's just accepted as a matter of fact.
And you know, I could basically in just a couple of words prove that is illegal. I don't even have to have details of a stolen election, whether it's the Senate, the nationwide elections that are held, whether it's the House, whether it's for president, because there is nothing in the law that allows a group of bullies to move in and take over what should be done by, let's say, juries of volunteers from the whole citizenry. That would be the best way to handle tabulating of votes, not secretly tabulating of votes. There's no authority on their part to secretly tabulate votes. They're going to automatically, in my mind, have an invalid result, no matter what that result is.
Exactly, because there's just no. I love the word, and it's so apropos. There's no transparency. They want transparency in everything else, but except for the vote count. Figure that one out.
All right.
You know, it's a crazy deal.
All right.
Well, listen, Fred, I appreciate your call. We're rolling up towards a break here, and when we come back, we're going to go to Raj from Georgia. He's been sitting there waiting to come aboard. This is Michael Collins Piper sitting in for John Stadtmiller. This is the National Intel Report.
If you're like the millions of Americans living day to day, trying to make ends meet, then you wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity. Employment and job security are at an all-time low, while the cost of living, supporting your family or lifestyle, and credit card debt just keep going up. So what if I told you there was a way to earn the kind of money you need and deserve? Build financial freedom. Secure a future for you and your family. And do it all right from the comfort of your own home with no money at risk. Now you can by starting your own business and becoming a part of the LifeWave team. LifeWave has developed a line of groundbreaking products using drug-free and chemical-free patches which work along the same principles as Qi that Asian cultures have used for thousands of years. LifeWave patches energize the body's own bioelectrical field to help create more energy and stamina, improve rest and concentration, and relieve muscle aches and pains without putting any type of stimulants or other substance into your body. This is something that everyone can use. All lifestyles, all ages. Just think of the possibilities. Now you can stop living in the past, get out of debt, and become part of the future, your future, by starting your own business today and becoming part of the LifeWave team. To learn how you can become part of the LifeWave team, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't sit back and let this opportunity pass you by. Take charge of your future. Act now.
Order the DVD of a lifetime. Into Evidence, Truth, Lies, and Unresolved Mysteries in the Murder of JFK. This landmark video is the most comprehensive presentation ever delivered on the assassination and features the leading experts in every field of scientific investigation. 32 hours of research presented on the most controversial murder of the 20th century. This compilation will make a great addition to your collection. To order this beautifully packaged 8-DVD set, visit our website, intoevidence.net/US.
Headline News. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
All right, this is Michael Collins Piper returning to you here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in for John Stadtmiller during this hour. We did have a caller, Raj, but is Raj with us or did he depart? Okay, all right, we're going to move on. We lost Raj. He's welcome to call back. Let's go to Rita in Colorado, who's waiting to come aboard.
Oh, hi, Mike. I called you, I talked to you one time before, right at the end of your show.
Okay.
If you remember me, but I've got some stuff to talk about, solutions, and now that we've got, I think, 22 ex-generals, military men, signing a letter to George Bush not to go into Iraq. We might have enough intelligence that I can talk about.
Now, do you mean Iran?
I mean to Iran.
Okay, all right.
I think that was what. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Frankly,
I hadn't heard about that letter. That's interesting. Did this just come out?
Yeah, that was Dan Abrams was just talking about that before you came on.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't hear that. So, okay, well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. That's excellent news.
Yeah. So. I'm trying, you know, I'm kind of here, I sort of live in the Truman Show, here, right?
Okay.
But, in, 2002, I went to, The Hague, where the UN is, and I actually, closed the National Bank of Holland on February 18th, 2002, talking about, 911, but not with any of the forensic evidence that you've got, only with evidence of motive, that I went all around The Hague, where the UN, all the embassies are there.
I'm sure that didn't go over very well.
Well, it did for a while. I mean, they closed the bank, and it was going to be closed for 3 or 4 days.
So well, now you say they closed the bank. What do you mean by that?
Well, the National Bank of Holland is called the Post Bank. They've got a bank there, which is the Bank of Holland.
And well, why did they close it?
Because I had gone first. I had tried to get into the Peace Palace. And I had gone up there, and I started telling them stuff about my alleged pedigree, which may or may not be pertinent, which is these other things are maybe side issues. But I sort of made a big fuss and got arrested.
Aha! Now we get down to brass tacks.
Okay, then I got arrested. Before that, I had gone to the other embassy. There's an embassy in Amsterdam. I had gone where Americans go when you register and you go into Holland if you're going to say if you're permanent. But before I did that, I made a big scene there, and I had gone and just basically shouted until they would arrest me. You know, I was out there in the rain, just getting rained at, and all these cops were looking at me, said, "Send me to jail, send me to jail," and I had just screamed at them for.
And I'll bet they were really eager to do it, weren't they?
Well, no, and they weren't, but they finally did, and I had a whole lot of documents, and they had made them Xerox all this stuff, and this basically conversations on the internet. I said, "Stop the war," before. Like 8 days before 911, they've got to stop the war. We got to stop the war. But anyway, so finally, back. You know, let's go back. You know, that was Amsterdam. Now in The Hague, when I was in The Hague, I had gone. There's a place called the Peace Palace, which is like the where the World Court is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they have a guard in there, and there are supposed to be judges that you can make an appointment with. It's kind of really a kind of this bureaucracy, and it's hard to do that. So I got frustrated because I had talked to police before, and they were sort of directing me there. And so I'd say I'm directly by mails from Friedrich Wilhelm III, and you got to let me in to the Peace Palace. You know, I'm highest noble from America. You got to let me in. So they wouldn't let me in. So then I finally made a big scene, and they arrested me. And I said, well, they wanted to just let me out. I said, now they'll take me to your psychiatric facility. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got more people, and they finally said, well, so this person's got, nobility blood somehow. How did that happen? And I showed them all the papers, and then I was doing okay there.
Well, let me ask you a question. What was your purpose? And did you travel all the way there to do that, or did you just happen to be there? Or
no, yeah, I traveled there to do that because I knew that was I knew what happened. I knew without even any of this stuff about seeing how it. I didn't even see it. I never saw the video of it, but I knew it was they were going to do that. I knew why they were going to do that. I know what's going on. I know. I understand. So, but anyway, they have this kind of understanding, a little more kind of cultural understanding, in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where, well, so what I was going to say was I really did that because I know that happened because I was there. I closed the bank. I know why.
Well, Rita, I'll tell you what. You better be careful next time because you can get yourself in big trouble dealing with the big boys like that. Listen, I got to move on here for our break, so thank you for your call. This is Michael Collins Piper sitting in for John Stadtmiller here on the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Stapler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, sitting in for John Stadtmiller on his second hour here in the National Intel Report. And, of course, at the top of the hour, I'll be sitting in for myself on my own program, the Piper Report, which follows. Okay, we have open lines here. You're free to call in, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We had a caller here just a little while ago who mentioned there was something about a letter signed by some top military people saying that we shouldn't go to war against Iran. Well, you know, the top military people who were in power, that is, they were still in the military, the top people, told President Bush that we shouldn't go into Iraq. And, of course, this madman in the White House ignored them because he had his own agenda. Well, maybe now that these top military people, I guess they're probably retired folks, maybe this should give some impetus to our own military, the people who are in place in the military today, to finally stand up to this madman and tell him we're not going to fight any more wars that need not be fought. Okay, well, like I say, we have open lines here, 800-313-9443. Do call in. It's your time to talk. Anyway, we do have a caller right now lined up, Ben from Florida. Let's bring Ben aboard.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Ben, what's going on?
Well, what I try to do is to reach the young people. And how do I do that? Where my feet took me, my eyes took me, my brain took me. I show them and tell them the horrors of war, that it is the greatest evil on the face of the planet. And this is through my own experiences, naturally. Another thing.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Ben. Let me ask you a question. You said something very interesting there. You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I've known a lot of veterans over the years who revel in war. Of course, there's a lot of armchair warriors, too, who
that's
revel
good.
In war.
But they're the type that could say, I was there. I was in Italy. I was in Iraq. Not Iraq. Yeah, I met kids from Iraq. They're coming back sick. And surprisingly, they know where the illness is, just like they learned it in NAM about Agent Orange.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll tell you the effect I have. My grandson took a piece out of a paper. They cut it out. It was a cutout.
Mm-hmm.
It was a picture of Bush. And it says, worst president ever. Worst is in red print. He got it from a little girl at work, so they're talking about it. And it's a website on the bottom, but I can't read it. So I told him, I want that website, because there's more to this than just this picture of Bush quoting his worst president ever. So you got to reach the young people, too.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what's probably going to reach the young people real fast, Ben, is if they bring back a draft. You know,
Oh, yeah? That's right. And you can't beat guerrillas without outnumbering them 10-1. Like, what would any red-blooded person do? Even me, even if my country was wrong and we're being attacked. Well, I'll tell you, I'll be at water's edge, and I won't stop shooting until I'm cut in half.
Absolutely.
That's my home, my family
that's
destroyed.
Right.
How could you blame them for retaliating? Geez, maybe if I was Iraqi, I'd put an atom bomb around me and come here and say, okay, let's all go.
Well, you know that reminds me of something. That reminds
me
of something.
Am I sound nutty saying these things?
Well, you know, Ben, that's the problem. But, you know, I have friends who are otherwise intelligent people who really get enthusiastic whenever George Bush says things like, bring them on. I mean, they sit there watching Fox News and cheering on the president and saying, that's my man, you know. And they think George Bush is this tough-talking, red-blooded American who's, you know, fighting the Islamo-fascist threat and looking out for America's national interest. And, Ben, these are intelligent people that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but they also have probably a lot of investments in oil.
No, you don't. No, oddly enough,
the little guy insisted on my interest that I can't even take dare to invest. I can't accept that risk.
Well, no,
but
actually, this one friend of mine
he's
got a pizza restaurant.
Huh?
I say this friend of mine's got a pizza restaurant. I don't know how he benefits from the war. Tell me, Ben.
I was there. But when they opened that rifle, that was 24 hours a day, Mike. And it's a true rifleman. And that's what I was. And that gets eyeball to eyeball.
Let me ask you a question, Ben. Do you are you active in the VFW or the American Legion at all?
No, because I got disgusted with that, because who would come to the fore? The guy had to have political ambitions all the time. I don't belong to any of those outfits anymore. It always appears the guy that wants to move ahead, especially in politics, pushes himself to the fore of these organizations. I'm sorry to say that.
That's very, very interesting. Yeah, because, you
that was my experience.
Well,
I didn't last long, Mike. I didn't last long at all. I was over-aggressive, maybe.
Well, that's probably the way it is throughout. And in fact, that's the way it is through a lot of civic organizations. I mean, these people use them as you know, forums.
Stepping stones.
Exactly. So that doesn't surprise me. I, I tell you what really shocked me a few years ago was when, I believe it was the American Legion. They tried to get the American Legion to, pass a resolution regarding USS Liberty. And I think, if I recall correctly, they did pass a resolution calling for an investigation, and then they unpassed the resolution. I mean, can you imagine that? A veterans organization not standing up for American servicemen who died in, it wasn't combat, they were under attack. It just boggles the mind. I don't remember if it was the VFW or the American Legion, but I tend to think it was the American Legion. They couldn't even stand up for their fellow Americans. It just absolutely appalled me, and I haven't been in the service.
You didn't miss anything. You want to thank the Lord you weren't. Mike, I don't want to kill another person. I don't want to see those legs flailing around. And he was down anyway, but I'm second scout, right?
Yeah.
I'm covering the guy's back in front of me, and we got to clear the way or fly. The platoon's got to come up. I don't want to see them bushwhack. And I would have put the coup de grace on them. That still bothers me till today. And I never expected that reaction. His legs were flailing. Well, he was down, but he wasn't out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Ben, my oldest brother, who has since died, he fought in Vietnam, and I know it had a severe impact upon him. And, I'll tell you, I've never told this story on the air before, but I've told it to many, many people. One time right after he came back from Vietnam, he took his little girl and I down to his wood shop, and he turned on a saw. And then said, whoops, so I cut my finger off. And he turned his little pinky finger back and said, whoops, I cut my finger off. And his little girl started crying. And he said, oh, here it is. And in his hand, he was holding a pinky finger. And he said, oh, I'm going to put it back on. And he pretended to take this thing and put it back on. He said, oh, my finger's all right. And his little girl started laughing. And I looked at what my brother had in his hand, and I said, let me see that. And I took it in my hand, and it was a pinky finger, a petrified pinky finger. And I said, where did you get that? And he said, I cut that off the hand of the first guy I killed in Vietnam. And, you know, I forgot about that. You know, I just kind of thought, oh, that's interesting. I was a little kid, about 10 years old. And I didn't remember that until about 20 years later when I read that that's what a lot of soldiers did in Vietnam. And I want to say that it shocked the hell out of me to think of my own brother killing people and then taking the pinky finger. And, you know, my brother was a very gentle guy. And I think of how that impacted upon him. You know, he only ever talked to me one time about Vietnam. We were driving in his car on a long trip. And he talked for hours, almost nonstop. And then he said to me, he said, don't ever ask me about Vietnam again. And I learned a hell of a lot about war from those two little experiences with my brother, and that's why I hate war, and I hate the warmongers.
That's right.
I hate the warmongers, and that's why I'm always, always glad to hear from people like you, Ben, who have really experienced it. And then we have these criminals here in Washington who've never put on a uniform in their life, sending American men and women off to fight and die in wars that aren't even in America's interests. And I don't know why the American people put up with it. I mean, I think we need 100,000 people to jump the fences at the White House and go in there and turn that place upside down.
Well,
you know, it's time, Ben. It's time.
By humanity. Now, look at those kids that protested the war in Vietnam. Was it Kent State College?
Yeah, they killed...
Our whole National Guard opened fire on them and killed some of them?
Yeah, that was out of Kent State.
Was anybody prosecuted? No. a nuclear atrocity off on that. You'll never see another demonstration from college kids. In the first place, the government waves that money in front of them. You won't get your grant.
Well, well, that's the other thing, too. You know, right here in Washington, we've had, there's some legislation. Here's the trick. They're trying to prevent college professors and students from criticizing Israel. I mean, that is the intent of the legislation. This is what Jewish groups that were lobbying for this legislation were saying, that the Jewish students on college campuses were intimidated by professors and students who were critical of U.S. support for Israel and critical of the U.S. wars that are being fought in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. So essentially, what they're doing is silencing dissent on the campus. But like I say, if they bring back the draft ban, there's going to be hell to pay. I really believe that.
I suspect there will be. Because, like I say, they're fighting for their homeland.
Yeah.
Hey, it's nothing. Your homeland is your family. Your very existence. What would we do if we were attacked?
I certainly would fight to defend my country, and, you know, if we were attacked
right or wrong, right.
Yeah,
right
we would all
wrong,
do it.
It doesn't matter. Oh, boy.
It's pretty scary, Ben.
Guys over there now at that depleted uranium. My heart's bleeding for them. That's why I keep talking about war and the evils of it.
Well, you know, Ben, all I can do is encourage you to keep on doing it. Listen, I got to move on here. Got another caller lined up here. I want to move on to him, Ben. Always enjoy talking to you, though, my friend. You take care of yourself. All right, let's go to our next caller, Ryan from Oregon.
Yeah,
Ryan.
Afternoon. How you doing?
How you doing today?
I'm surviving, hopefully, as always.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. A couple of comments. I didn't intend to make a comment about what I just heard, but this deal about your brother with Vietnam. My wife, who I've been married to for 29 years, her older brother of 15 years was on a minesweeper in Nam. And he was one of those really nice people. He came back, and I got to tell you, there was a lot of his soul and his psyche that shut down on the return of that. And a lot of that is due to the fact that these kids, 18, 19, 20, that we send over in the name of God and freedom, and, you know, the contempt that I hold for these people that are doing this is just beyond words. But these kids come back, and they don't know how to respond to this thing. They don't know how to handle it. And they almost have to put it into the realm where you could actually make a joke of having a dead man's finger.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And it just, you know, you look at the spiritual level of that, and you go, my God in heaven, what are we doing?
Oh, you see, this is it. You know, like I say, when my brother, that incident that I described was when I was about 10 years old, I guess, at the time. Maybe not even 10. I forget when he came back from Vietnam, so I can't quite place exactly. But, you know, I giggled. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought it was interesting. And then I forgot about it. It was almost as though I had suppressed that memory.
Look at the cascading effect this has on society in general. You're sitting here years later mentioning this thing publicly, all right? And it's a horrific event.
Yeah.
On the surface. It still affects you psychically beyond your even personal awareness.
Yes, it does. And you're absolutely right about that.
We've got these kids coming back from Gulf One and from the current, you know, just I can't even put it into words, this evilness that's happening right now. And after going through all they go through in Iraq and so forth, they come back here and then they get pulled over and get a traffic ticket. How do they handle that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just, you know, and that's the society that this world elite is creating for us. And it is just really horrific. But in any event, a couple other issues.
Yeah, go ahead.
this young man who was on previous to you, 23-year-old gentleman, you guys have got to figure out a way to slot him in. I mean, he is articulate. I wanted to call him up and, you know, I've got two children older than he is, and my kids are pretty sharp, all things considered. You rarely hear somebody as articulate as him at his age of 23 saying what and holding, you know, the dots together and all of that. Find a slot for him on your network. I think you're going to reach another level of audience than you otherwise
would. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what I'm going to have? I didn't hear that. I guess this was on the first hour.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I don't mean to negate or disparage any of the other hosts on the network at all.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that I didn't hear that broadcast, so I'm really unfamiliar with that, but you've intrigued me enough that I'm going to have to
go to
the archives and listen to that. Yeah, like I say, that's all I can do. I didn't hear this young man. What was his name? Is Dan Abrahamson, I guess.
He's got his website going, you know, falseflagsnews.com and all of that. But
I think, you know, oddly enough, I think I have.
I was actually, you know, I'm 48 years old, and I've got my youngest is 25. My wife and I got married right out of high school, but. It was actually, and I don't know if he would actually hear this comment, but to him directly, I got to tell you, it was an absolute refreshing thing to hear a young man. I'm not going to call him a kid, although, you know, from my perspective, he is. You know, I got older than he is. You know how that goes, but and I don't mean that in disrespect to him, but in his own vernacular and everything, here's a young man with a brain, and you don't see that a lot in this country.
Sadly enough, I'm afraid you're right. Yeah,
you know, and you know, so just that was just a comment to whoever manages or owns your network there. Pass the word along or whatever. Get that kid on the air, and maybe you're going to open up a potential to bring in, a younger audience. You know?
Well, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. That's a good idea, and, you know, that is what we do need. We need to reach more and more young people because those of us have been around, you know, fighting the battles and losing them. Maybe the next generation coming up is going to be the one that'll win
it. You know, you talk to somebody in their early 20s or mid-20s or even in their 30s about Vietnam, and they, you know, I grew up, you know, I graduated from high school in, let me put it this way. My draft number was number 6, okay, and I got it. And that was right in 72 when everything kind of wound down after that retard Nixon, you know, decided, I got elected, and okay, now we can shut her down. But, well, it was a bigger deal than that. That's not the point, but I never saw combat, thank God, so there's this whole generation from when I grew up, you know, graduated from high school on that never really understood, you know, the concept of even considering that it was acceptable to cut another human being's finger off and brag about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
exactly.
It's just not good. But anyway, one other comment. I'm finding that a lot of the people that are pointing fingers at what's going on in the world today, the wars and the potential war in Iran and then Syria and so forth and other things and so forth and so on. I'm finding it rather interesting that all of that we're hearing is totally negating the financial aspect. I think the false flag is not going to be, some nuke in LA or something like that. I think what we're going to end up finding is that we're going to get hit with a financial catastrophic event. We almost had it in 87 and many other times. And I would simply encourage people to be very, very aware of the fact that what they have in their checkbooks, what's going on as far as, you know, from the just day-to-day events is going to change very, very rapidly.
You know, it's funny. Just about an hour before I came on this program, I was walking in the street and ran into this acquaintance of mine, and he always likes to brag about the money he's making in the stock market, you know? And as I was listening to him bragging, I was thinking, fella, you're going to be in for a big surprise one day.
Well,
so that's the way it goes.
All you have to do is look at what happened to Argentina with their peso. I mean, and you can list dozens of other specific scenarios where the central banks manipulated the currency.
All hell broke loose.
Well,
Ryan, listen, I don't want to cut you off, but I have to. I got
to
squeeze another caller in here before the hour ends.
Appreciate talking
to you. Listen, yeah, appreciate talking to you. Thanks for your call. Very, very nice call. Excuse me, folks. Let's go to Gene from Texas. Gene, come on up.
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, hey, Gene.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I just want to give you an answer to your question that you asked at the beginning of the hour.
Yeah.
What can we do?
What can we do?
I think the answer is education. I really do. I think we have to try to educate as many people as we can. And I know that's a big job, and a lot of people say, how do we do that? Well, I think we're doing that just with this 9/11 information.
And you know, I tell you, that's what I'm glad you say that, Gene, because, you know, that's what I always say to people. You know, I might have my own radio program, and I write for a newspaper, and I published a couple books, you know, and everything. There are other ways to educate people, just like Ben, who called in here earlier. You know, here's a man who experienced the horrors of war, and he's telling people about what he experienced. He isn't running around bragging, hey, I'm a big shot war hero, you know, I'm somebody because I was in the military. He's telling people, hey, war is hell.
Right, that's what Gerald Sherman said in the Civil War.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, so Ben's doing his part. I didn't hear this young man that was on the program with John Stapmiller earlier, but here's a guy, I guess he's got a website. He's doing his part. You know what I mean? You're doing your part by even calling this program.
Well, maybe
see
so.
What I mean? It's kind of a, you know, it's like we all fit into the network. This terminology is too applicable to radio, but I mean, we all fit into a pattern, a program. We're all a piece of the big puzzle.
I think a lot of this education, Michael, should be history. Our people are so ignorant of our own American history, even
you're
much less
me.
World history. But I mean, I think we need to have more programs on American history, not just current events, because you cannot really understand current events unless you understand
absolutely,
history.
Absolutely. Gene. Great minds think alike. What can I tell you? Well, you know, in all seriousness, though, Gene, you know, this is absolutely true. You know, what I always like to point out is if you grab any kid off the street, he'll tell you that 6 million Jews died in World War II, but he can't tell you how many Americans died in the Civil War on our own soil.
He's
think about
a lie
that
in one area and doesn't even know the truth about the other.
That's exactly yeah, exactly.
Thank you,
all
Jim.
Right. Gene, appreciate your call. Always like talking to you. All right, folks, we're wrapping up the National Intel Report here. And I'm going to be back with you in a couple minutes here with my own program. And we have some interesting guests. Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani and Christopher Boleyn. I call it the Battle of the Network Stars. Thanks for listening in to the National Intel Report.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.